Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to this Holy Half Hour programme here on your local radio station, 3TFM. I'm the Reverend Alec Noble, local minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. As a minister and radio presenter, I lead a double life. During the day, I sometimes bury the dead, and at night, I try to rouse the dead. Seriously, though, I do spend a lot of my time trying to bring comfort and encouragement to people in all kinds of situations. Tonight I'd like to focus on trying to help anyone who's feeling bereaved. And after 28 years as a minister, and nearly 900 funerals, I've learned that the bereaved are not a minority category of people. Bereavement affects all of us. A widow once said to me, "Mr. Noble, I hope no one has to go through what I've gone through." I looked at her and said, "Everyone has to go through bereavement." It's funny how everyone knows that, but forgets that, and feels that it is just them all alone. Well, we're not alone tonight, and we shall try to lighten the load a wee bit. We have family, friends, professionals, fellow sufferers, and above all, Jesus, all included in the following offer. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will ease your mind.
Comes and Sail on, silver girl. Sail on, my. Your time has come to shine. All your dreams are on their way. See how they shine.
Everyone suffers grief, and no two people and no two situations are exactly alike. But since we're all Jock Tamson's bairns, since we're all human, we do have a lot in common, and so we can detect a pattern to grief. There are classic stages in grieving. Every person goes through the same feelings, but each one of us goes through them at different speeds, to different degrees, and gets stuck at different points. The first stage is always shock. Disbelief, denial, surely not, you must be mistaken, it can't be. Even when a person has been terminally ill in a hospice for weeks, it still comes as a shock. We feel like someone has just punched us in the stomach. America was sent reeling by three successive body blows: the assassinations of John F. Kennedy, his brother Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. And in the national and worldwide grief, the following song was written. Here's Kenny Rogers singing it.
Has anybody here seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but the good they say die young. And I just looked around and he was gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but the good they say die young. And I just looked around and he was gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but the good they say died. And I just looked around and he was gone. Didn't you love the things they stood for? Didn't they try to find some good for you and me, so we'd be free? Someday soon there's gonna be a new. Has anybody here seen my old friend Bobby. Can you tell me when he's gone? I thought I saw him walking up over the hill with Abraham, Martin, and John. Precious memories, how they linger, my soul in the stillness of the midnight. Precious sacred scene.
After shock comes the second stage of numbness, emptiness, coldness, confused, in a daze, as if it's all a bad dream. We ask some very good questions on the theme of why, but we can't hear any of the answers. Just as many colours mixed together make up the colour white, we feel a mixture of feelings so mixed up it comes out as numb and no feeling. If anything, we feel like a polo mint. We've a great big hole, absence, in the middle of our life. Here's Michael Ball singing Empty Chairs and Empty Tables.
There's a grief that can't be spoken. There's a pain goes on and on. Empty chairs at empty tables. Now my friends are dead and gone. Here they talked of revolution. Here it was they lit the flame. Here they sang about tomorrow. And tomorrow never came. From the table in the corner, they could see a world reborn. And they rose with voices ringing. And I can hear them now, the very words that they had sung became their last communion. From a lonely barricade at dawn, oh my friends, forgive me that I live and you are gone. There's a grief that can't be spoken. There's a pain goes on and on. Phantom faces at the window, phantom shadows on the floor. Empty chairs at empty tables, where my friends will meet no more. Oh, my friends, my friends. Sacrifice was for empty chairs at empty tables, where my friends will sing no more.
After the shock and the numbness comes the third stage, when we hum and hay, trying to take it all in. Like Venetian blinds letting in the sunlight in controlled doses, we let in both good and bad news at our own speed. We also wrestle with fantasy and reality at this stage. We still think our loved one will be coming back, and then we realise they will not. We idealise them and praise them as if they were perfect, and then we concede that they did have their funny ways, their foibles. Here is Valjean in the musical Les Misérables, swinging between Bring My Loved One Home Here and Make Him Comfortable Home There in Heaven.
Have known if God had granted me a son, the summers die one by one, how soon they fly on, and I am old and will be gone. Bring
After the shock and the numbness and the humming and haying, we come to the fourth stage when we feel strong surges of feelings. Grief, like a stew, contains several ingredients which churn around and pop up to the surface. The feelings can surprise us and others and scare us by their intensity. There is anger, rage even, anger at God for allowing it, anger at the doctor for not preventing it, anger at the ambulance for being too slow, anger at the deceased for leaving us, anger at the next person who comes in the door, not for anything they have done, just because we are feeling frustrated, raw and angry. Anger turned in on ourselves causes us to feel depressed, and it also arouses guilt feelings and if-onlys. If only I had done this or that, if only I had said this or that. Here's Dolly Parton singing these words.
Something so small. distant. Never answers, just questions us all. If regrets were gold, I'd be rich as a queen. If teardrops were diamonds, how my face would gleam. If I loved you better, I would.
So we have the shock, the numbness, the humming and haying, then the strong surges of feelings. And the last stage, suddenly, out it all pours, like the burst water main, with the floods of tears, an avalanche of emotion, and it's wrongly called breaking down. It's rather a healthy stage, releasing emotional constipation, if you pardon the expression. It can be good therapy to soften that stiff upper lip. It's good for men to cry too. It's not coping. It is how we cope. Bottling up emotions just causes delayed problems. Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. The best advice in grief is to be as natural as possible. Feel free to feel your feelings. You do not have to cry, and you do not have to not cry. You cry if and when you want to. Some people normally wear their heart on their sleeve, and some people normally keep their cards close to their chest. Don't worry if you're being true to your usual self. When death deals us a major blow, it's like an earthquake high on the Richter scale. Our needle swings violently to extremes. Some folk never leave the house, while others go out all the time and can't bear to sit at home. Some talk about their loved one all the time, while others never speak their name. Some people rush to move house, while others keep the house like a shrine and in a time warp, just the way they left it. This is understandable. Don't be too hard on yourself, but eventually things swing back to a more balanced position. Basically, we have a lump in our throat and we have to chew it thoroughly and swallow it before we can move on. We have to work through some painful and some happy memories. We always remember our loved ones and we always get pangs of grief. But as time goes by, the pangs get fewer and further between, allowing us to have a life after their death. There is so much more I would like to say, but our holy half hour, like life itself, runs out of time all too quickly for our liking. But hang in there till we meet again next week, when in part two we consider specific comforts for the bereaved. By way of a wee trailer, let me say that we basically have two comforts, and any funeral makes these two basic points. One, God is with us, the Lord is my shepherd. And two, he gives us resurrection from death and resurrection from grief. But more of that next week. Meanwhile, I leave you with Don Francisco singing Always There.
Closing the door, I'll leave the world behind me. Lifting my hands to you, you're always there. You're always there. All of the joy that this world denies me flows from your heart every time that I come to you. Your love shines through whenever I come to you. Call me by name and at the sound my soul rejoices. Heaven descends and your glory fills the air. Every prayer, every heart's desire has found its answer. As you tell me once again that your love will never end. You're my savior and my friend who's always there.
My savior and my friend who's always there.